In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. You know, the Jewish people are celebrating this little feast called Purim. Purim. You know what Purim is about? It's the time when Esther reigned as queen. Esther, the queen, a Jewess, reigned as queen. And there was a villain. His name was Haman. Haman wanted to destroy the whole Jewish race. That's what he was into. You know, sometimes it never ends. You know, the Jewish race has tried to be destroyed by so many people. By Haman. By Hitler. By Stalin. Oh, how many people have tried to destroy the Jewish people, the chosen people of God. And now we see the Arabs wanting to throw Israel into the sea. But I don't want to get political today. I want to talk about Mordecai. Mordecai was the uncle of Queen Esther before she became a queen. Oh, he was the one that raised her. She was an orphan, and he brought her up to be God-fearing. Mordecai is a Jew, and he will not reverence this evil man named Haman. I'm reading from Esther 3, verse 5. And when Haman saw that Mordecai, that's Esther's uncle, would not bow to him, nor did him reverence, then Haman was full of wrath. And Haman sent unto the king Assyrius, that's the king, "There is a certain people scattered abroad, dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom. Their laws are diverse from all people. They do not keep the king's laws. Therefore, it is not for the king's prophet to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. If it please the king, let it be written that they be destroyed." Oh, isn't this interesting? Haman wants to destroy the nation of Israel. But I will tell you, the hand of God is always on his people. I told you this before. God's gifts are irrevocable, irrevocable. When the Lord gives a gift, he does not take it away. He does not take it away. And so Mordecai says to Esther, "You need to go and intercede for your people. You need to go and intercede for your people. And if you don't do it, someone else will. Perhaps you were born for such a time as this." Now, this is very interesting because, you see, in order to go into Assyrius' chamber, you had to be called, even the queen. You had to be called. And if you were not called, if you went in and he did not want to see you, you'd be dead. You'd be dead. He'd kill you. You know, he had a harem. Queen Esther was the first. Now I'm reading. I'm reading from Esther 4. "There was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes." Why? Because Haman wants the king to destroy the whole Jewish nation. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it to her. And then was the queen exceedingly grieved. And she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him. But he received it not. Her uncle remained in the clothes of penance. Then called Esther for Hatash, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know that it was and why it was. So Hatash went out to Mordecai into the street of the city, which was before the king's gate, and Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, that he would not bow to Haman. The sum of money that Haman had promised to pay the king's treasury for the Jews to be destroyed, all of them. Hatash came back and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Perhaps you were born for such a time as this. Now I'm going to tell you, Esther, the queen, that the trouble of Israel will be upon her shoulders. The trouble of Israel will be upon her shoulders. For Mordecai says you've got to go into the king. You've got to go into the king and plead for your people. Esther can be killed. Esther can be killed. I'm reading from Esther. Then Esther bade them return to Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me. She's no fool. If I'm going to see the king, I want the people of God to fast. Neither eat nor drink 3 days and three nights. I also with my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, and he kills me, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to what Esther had commanded him. Isn't that interesting? It's interesting that in 2011, we still don't know how to fast. The old disciplines of Lent, Okinawa, gone. Sayonara, fasting and praying and almsgiving. Isn't it interesting that, you know, we do the Pharisaical fast on Ash Wednesday and on Good Friday? Yeah, two meals that don't equal one meal. Yeah, give me a break. We're in times that are perilous. So they're going to fast 3 days and three nights. No food. 3 days and three nights. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the manner of the court of the king's house, over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house. But before she did that, she got on her face with her chamberlains. And she cried out to God, and her prayer was, O God of Israel, you who have done the great acts in the past, you who have opened the sea, you who have done the great acts for Israel, hear my prayer. For I am going into the chamber of the lion, and I have no help but you. I have no help but you. You are my only help. I have no hope but you. Oh, yes, she cried out with her chamberlains, with her maidens, that God would protect her, because if the king does not receive her, she's dead. And what happens? He receives her. He receives her. And in the end, Haman hangs on the gallows. Oh, yes. The fate of Israel was on one woman's shoulders. A brave woman who did what she had to do, even if it meant death. How brave are we as God's people? Like, how brave are you? How brave am I? You know, we don't go out of our way. We don't go and fast and feel hunger. We don't, because you know what? We are God's elect. We're in perilous times. I don't know if you know that the world is erupting. The world is erupting. Not only Japan, but the world is erupting. Our economy is erupting. I don't know if you know that, that prices are sky high. And I hear people in the market basket talking about how things have gone up. One lady said, I bought these crackers a couple of weeks ago. They were a dollar. They're $1.69 today. She called her husband on the phone and said, I can't believe it. Yeah. But you see, I don't feel sorry for myself because you know what? I've got enough. You know who I feel sorry for? The people that don't have it. I feel sorry for the people who don't have it. Like the woman who came the other night with one leg. Oh, yes, this woman has sought help from us before. And, you know, she can play it. I know her. But she had nothing the other night. And how could I be like it says in the book of James, God bless you, go on your way, have a nice day. How could I do that? I would be condemned. Oh, yeah. We don't know. We don't know what it is to be brave. We don't know what it is to be giving. We don't know what it is to fast. We don't know. We look at the world and say, it's going to be like this forever. Yeah? You know what Captain Kuhlman used to say? And this was in the 70s. It's dark, beloved, and it's getting darker. Well, my friends, if that's what she said in the 70s, let me tell you, in 2011, it's dark, beloved, and it's getting much darker. And now we can perceive the darkness, and the only hope is Jesus Christ. There is only one hope, and his name is Jesus Christ. There is only one light, and his name is Jesus Christ. And God's people have been pampered. Oh, yes, we are pew potatoes. We come and we fill the churches for Ash Wednesday. What good does it do to get ashes on your head, to have 5,000 people in a church when somebody in the church is suffering and you let that person go? You don't see the tears in her eyes or his eyes, so you walk out with your ashes. Isn't that sweet? That's what faith is all about, getting ashes for your head. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that lovely? I don't think so. I told you what the catechist in Africa, as he was placing the ashes on the people's heads, it was so sweet. He didn't know the formula, you know, remember, man, that thou art dust, and into dust you shall return. And he didn't know what it was. And this is what he said. This is real. Father Joseph told us. And it's so funny. And it's so true. As he put the ashes on the people's head, he would say, does no harm, does no good. Does no harm, does no good. Does no harm, does no good. Well, you know what? He was more right than anyone could ever be. What does it mean to get ashes on your head? It does no harm, that's for sure. And it certainly does no good. Unless you're going to enter into the 40 days of penitence. Unless you're going into the 40 days of prayer and fasting and almsgiving. Does no harm and does no good. Oh, we laughed about that. But you know why something is funny? Because it has a grain of truth. Oh, we as priests know that, you know, Ash Wednesday is that day when they all come out. No more at the Holy Rosary, but in most places. Oh, they come out of the woodwork for whatever reason. Does no harm. And it does no good. Unless they're going to enter into, and I'm going into, these days of penance, these days of fasting, these days of giving, these days of prayer. And so, during the darkest time of the time that I ever lived in, I don't see that happening. I don't see that happen, even with people who go to Mass every day. Like, what good does it do if they are not close to Jesus? And if they are gossiping? And if, you know, What good does it do if there's someone in their midst that needs help, that you wouldn't want to help because they smell, and you go to Mass and receive the body and blood of Christ, and you don't help the person who smells? What good would it do? No good. It's a condemnation. Mordecai said to Esther, "Perhaps, honey, you've been born for such a time as this. Perhaps that God has raised you up, a Jewess, to be in the king's court as the queen to save your people Israel." And the burden of Israel lay on one person, but also on the rest of God's people who decided to fast and to pray, who decided to give themselves to prayer, so that when Esther went into Mordecai, into Assyrius's room, she would not be killed. Who fasts, who prays, who gives? We do not want to go out of our way. As I said yesterday, and I'll say it again, it's so easy to feel sorry for the people in Egypt, but that does no good. The Lord told me yesterday when I was going down the steps and crossing the street, "You tell them. You know, it makes you feel good for feeling sorry about the people, not in Egypt, but in Japan. Oh yeah, it makes you feel good. But what good can you do by feeling sorry? What about the one person that's in your house that you don't care about? What about the people that you feel repulsed about and you'd never even give them a cup of coffee? You know, you could feel as bad as you want about the Japanese. Doesn't help them. Maybe if you fasted for them, prayed for them, stayed up all night and prayed that God would visit them in their misery, something wonderful would happen. But you know, we all are those spectators. We look at the tsunami. We look at the automobiles one on top of another. We look at the ships like little toy boats in a bathtub. Yeah, and we feel so bad. What good does it do? Doesn't do any good. But it makes us feel good that we can feel bad. When today at Planned Parenthood, they're killing children. They're killing children today. That's right. And where is the church? There'll be a few people out there, thanks be to God, to be the last voice. But who will go out there and just be there to pray? Who will go out there to care? But we'll feel very sad about what happens in Japan when children are being ripped out of women's wombs and women are being destroyed. Oh, yes. I know of women that have destroyed twins, and every year she has a birthday party for the kids that she killed. My Jesus, mercy. My Jesus, mercy. Oh, it's so easy to feel sorry for the Japanese, because it doesn't cost you anything, or me. But to get on our knees, and to fast, and to pray, and to give, and to care for the poor bum that has nothing, that lives two doors away, that will cost us something. But we are satisfied with feeling sad for the Japanese. Do we not know that people are going to hell every day? Do we not know that Jesus said the way to hell is wide and many choose it, and the way to heaven is narrow and few choose it? Do we not know that? And then how do we respond to that saying? How do we respond to that saying? I feel sad for the people in Japan. Isn't it awful? Why would God let it happen? You know, that's another question. Why would God let it happen? When we can do something about people who are having abortions, we can be the last voice. We can care for them. We can have a baby shower. We can do something. But you know what? It's so easy to blame God and do absolutely nothing and feel sad about Japan. And that makes us feel good, because you know what? We feel sad. perhaps you were born for such a time as this. That God has raised you up to be the queen so that you could save your people. And Esther, if you do not do it, God will raise someone else up. Perhaps you were born for such a time as this. And I say to you, my friends, perhaps you were born for such a time as this in this darkness. All the people in the 70s who heard the prophetic words about the darkness that was going to cover the earth, most of them are gone. Most of them are gone. But perhaps you were born for such a time as this. But it starts on your knees. It starts in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament. It starts with prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Perhaps you, my friend, were born for such a time as this. But your inability to do nothing other than feel sorry for Japan will get the Japanese nowhere and will get you in hell. It is time for us to take inventory, not scrupulosity, but inventory, and say to the Lord, what do you want me to do? What are you calling me to do? The first thing is that we pray. The first thing is that we turn to Him. That we make time. And then we need to look about fasting. To feel hungry. To feel hungry. I hate feeling hungry. It is not a nice feeling. It is not a nice feeling. Doesn't give me warm feelings in my heart to feel hungry. And then to be generous. Perhaps you were born for such a time as this. Perhaps God is going to use you. But you've got to take a chance. Esther went into the room of King Assyrius. But before she went into the room, she fasted and prayed with her maidens. And she cried out to God, you're the only one I have. I have no one else but you. You're the only one I have. I have no one else but you. Protect me from the claws of the lion. Talking about the king. Oh, I know everybody loves to be told, isn't it lovely? Things are fine. Things are beautiful. No, things are dark, and it's getting darker. And God is looking for people who will offer their lives to Him as sacrifices of praise. Yep. He's looking for people who will be committed. And you know what? He doesn't find very many. Oh, no. Doesn't find very many. The church will be filled on Ash Wednesday. Isn't it wonderful? But it does no harm, and it does no good, unless you enter into the 40 days that God gives us. They are days of grace. 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 You can have a black mark on your head all you want. It'll get you nowhere. They are days of grace. And how will you use those days of grace? Well, that's up to you and up to me. And perhaps you were born for such a time as this. Perhaps. Or you can let this roll off your back like a duck with water rolling off its back. You can do that too. Please don't turn me on anymore if you're not going to do what I say. At least something. Because it'll be a judgment against you. For the more you know, the more you're responsible for. Don't turn me on. It would be better for you not to listen to me. And of course, it would be better for me not to listen to me too. But I've got to speak it. And if I speak it, I've got to live it. Or else I'll go to hell. And I live it with a limp. That's right, with a limp. I limp I don't do it perfectly, hardly perfectly, not at all, not at all. But he loves you, and he's looking for your heart. He's looking for you. Perhaps you were born for such a time as this. Perhaps, 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 perhaps you can do something that only you can do. You need to seek the face of the Lord, and you need to ask him for guidance. And you've got to get off your pity party, and you've got to get off what you're going through, and you've got to start looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our salvation, and you've got to ask him, what are you calling me to be? First a prayer warrior, and then what are you calling me to do? Well, I've said it, and it goes down in history. You can hear it, you can omit it, you can delete it, or you can follow it. It's up to you. We'll be meeting at the Holy Rosary today at the rectory, 2:30. We're going to be praising God. We're going to be sowing to the heavens and reaping to the earth. Sowing to the heavens and reaping to the earth. Sowing to the heavens and reaping to the earth. And tonight, Thursday, it's St. Patrick's Day. We're going to have Mass at 7:30 at the Holy Rosary. You're welcome to come. I do not have a boiled dinner today, but you know what? We will celebrate St. Patrick's Day at the altar. And you're welcome to come at 7:30 at the Holy Rosary. Winthrop, God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.